Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. The Performing Arts Center Trust Summer Stage Festival gets underway this weekend, and one of the major components of the festival each year is Look Musical Theater, which contributes three major musical productions to the summer festival. This year, Look offers two early musicals by Stephen Sondheim, as well as a recent Tony Award-winning Triple Crown musical. The first to open is the musical often called the perfect musical for its mix of drama and comedy, music and dance. Gypsy, with lyrics by Stephen Sondheim, music by Julie Stein, is based on the memoirs of stripper Gypsy Rose Lee, but really the story of her overbearing stage mother, Mama Rose. Sondheim's second musical to be featured will also include the work of Larry Gelbart, the creator of MASH and the comic farce A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum. And the final show is the recent Tony Award-winning musical Avenue Q, which, while featuring Muppet-like puppets, is for strictly mature audiences. It's an irreverent tale of a recent college graduate discovering his purpose in life. Gypsy opens Friday night at the Tulsa Performing Arts Center. Avenue Q opens the following night, Saturday, and Forum opens on Saturday, June 23rd. To tell us all about Look Musical Theater is its artistic director, Eric Gibson. Eric Gibson, welcome back to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Rich.
Look Musical Theater gets their season going this Friday. You guys have been rehearsing for the last few weeks, and it's a very ambitious schedule. Three big musicals, including one that really doesn't appear in local shows or sort of even regional productions that often. And I'm thinking of Gypsy, because Gypsy is a big show to do. It involves children as well as animals and everything.
And you have to have someone who can sell those songs like Ethel Merman did.
Yeah, right.
It has a lot of requirements. Yeah.
So why the decision to do Gypsy this year? Obviously, you must have a Mama Rose that you feel will be able to sell those songs.
My friend Melissa Parks, who lives in New York City, I had talked to her a couple years ago about coming back to Look. She was our old lady in Candide in 2008. And I said, you know, what would bring you back to Tulsa? And I listed off some roles, and I said, Mama Rose. And she said, I'd do it. So she's actually roommates with Ron Lloyd, who Ron Lloyd's been in our shows for years. He took last summer off, but he's back this year playing Herbie. So they're doing it together, and they're having a blast.
So roommates portray roommates.
You got it.
Well, for people who are not familiar with Gypsy, it's hard to, you know, it is one of the great staples of musical theater. Mm-hmm. It is one of those perfect amalgams of song, dance,
drama,
and drama. It's the beginning of the sort of the end of the happy ending in musical theater, I think.
You know? It's been called the perfect musical.
I mean,
well, it follows the true story of Gypsy Rose Lee and her, you know, just voracious stage mother, this horrendous stage mother, I guess I should say, who pushes her through. First, it's June, who she tries to make a star, until she burns June out, and then Louise, who is the less talented of the two when they were younger. But Louise rises to the occasion, and then she becomes the famous stripper Gypsy Rose Lee. It's a poignant story, because along the line, almost everybody leaves Mama Rose, you know. A lot of people leave. She even asks that question in the play. She says, why does everybody leave? And it's heartbreaking, but it's still, it's a great score. It's a great script. We've got great people doing it.
Well, what does your Mama Rose bring to this particular role? What does she give you that makes it, you know, big and different?
The voice. Melissa has a set of pipes on her that, you know, she'll nail you to the back of the wall. It's a great sound, and we have a big band down there. There's three trumpets, three trombones. It's a huge orchestra, two percussionists, and you can barely hear them over Melissa. She's doing a great job.
And, of course, that's what Ethel Merman brought to the role.
Absolutely.
Originally. I mean,
Absolutely.
That was, you know, she didn't need microphones back in those old days.
Right. She had a voice.
Yeah, and so was that the sort of role model for the role? Because so many great actresses and Broadway actresses have done this, you know, everything.
Right.
Bernadette Peters.
Yeah, I saw Bernadette Peters do it, and I saw Tyne Daly do it.
Yeah.
And I just recently did see Patti LuPone do it. You know, now that we're in an age of miking, it really doesn't matter how big your voice is. I think that's unfortunate. I'm not saying that that's a good thing, but I think a lot of people who maybe couldn't get away with certain roles do now because they, you know, they have a mic stuck up in their hair, and people get away with a lot. But we don't mic things generally.
No, since you made the change from opera to music theater, mm-hmm. I would think that would go along with it.
That may be an eventual change. We tend to do musicals that are more you know, the old style musicals didn't have mics. So, I mean, Rodgers and Hammerstein, things like that. We are venturing, our repertoire is changing, that we may need to add that element at some point. But, you know, the Williams Theater downtown is very small, intimate, and right now it's a good blend.
Yeah. Well, beyond Mama Rose, of course, you have a children's chorus to deal with. There's Louise's pet is a lamb.
We found a real lamb in Bixby, if you can believe it or not. So if you're a lamb lover.
Is it a trained lamb?
I don't know if you can train a lamb.
But do you have a lamb wrangler? Or?
Yes, we do, actually. We have a gentleman, a lovely gentleman, who's going to bring him every night and take him home right after he's on stage.
Oh, that's
so
crazy.
We've nicknamed the lamb Lamb Chop.
Yeah. So it is a big show, and putting it together, because you have a children's chorus as well mm-hmm. as the...
Well, it's a beautiful show, the way it's written. There's a part, the children are only in about the first 20 minutes of it, and 25 minutes, and there's a brilliant part in right in the middle of Act One, where the kids are doing a military routine, and they're doing trenches side to side on the stage, and a light effect, almost like a strobe, happens. And as those... little dancers, well, we call them shorts. Our choreographer calls them shorts. As the shorts dance off, the talls, the big people, come on. They're adult replacements in the same dance position and doing the trenches. And it's a brilliant convention for passing time.
And that's one of those things from the show that probably hasn't changed much over the years.
No, we're not going to change that. No.
I mean, that is just one.
I think with these big old musicals, it's like I say, you know, if you're going to do My Fair Lady, you have to put the ascot in black and white costumes. I mean, you don't have to, but there's a little bit of audience expectation. And I think when you go to the theater, sometimes you're looking forward to those things that you know are familiar. So we're not changing a lot.
And of course, there's a lot of great songs with this piece. Some People is, that's an 11:30 song in most musicals.
Absolutely. And it's at the beginning in this one.
Yeah.
But I was saying to the guys the other day, you know, the duet Small World is my favorite song in the entire thing. It's a beautiful song that she basically flirts with Herbie to get him, you know, to get him roped in. And then they eventually, you know.
And Herbie is her agent, basically.
Herbie is a guy she just meets in one of these theaters, and he's seen the act, and he agrees to represent them.
Yeah.
Even though vaudeville is dying, and he warns them that vaudeville is dead.
And there's another great number midway through the first act, was All I Need Is the Girl.
All I Need Is the Girl.
Which is a
big tap dance number, a big dance and tap dance number. All I Need Is the Girl is a great number. Oddly enough, it's sung by a guy named Tulsa. And it is one of the best numbers in the piece. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Well, you brought us some music to hear. And of course, there are two tour de force numbers for Rose, one at the end of the first act and one at the end of the second act, which the second
Rose's
act
turn.
Is not. Yeah, Rose's Turn is not to be missed. But the other one is Everything's Coming Up Roses, which has taken on this weird opposite. It's just like Ralph Blaine's number, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, which started out as like this utterly bleak song.
Absolutely.
That turned into sort of nostalgic, and Everything's Coming Up Roses has done the same thing.
Right. The position that song takes place in the show is heartbreaking, because at the end of Act One, you think Rose has given up on trying to make one of her children a star, because June does leave with Tulsa, and you think it's over, and that just drives Mama Rose further into the abyss, I guess. And she tells Louise, you are going to be the next star.
Yeah, it's no longer driven. Yeah. We're going a little bit crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you'll be swell. You'll be great. And Louise practically has a breakdown in Herbie's arms. And she hails triumphant over them as the curtain falls. And they're just in tears because their life is still going to be chaotic.
Now, how does a song like that is like, you know, it's a journey into madness, really, become associated with like happy times?
Right. Well, you know, I think songs out of context always have different feelings. I mean, they always take on a different, you know, meaning to an audience. I mean, a lot of times when you put a big familiar piece into the context of the musical, you know, it's a shock to many people. And there are a lot of, I can't name one right now off the top of my head, but there are many famous songs from musicals that nobody's ever heard of. Yeah. But one song is a hit, you know. And so it just depends on how it takes off.
And it is certainly a hit. It's ubiquitous now.
Right.
And let's hear the original version. This is Ethel Merman.
Ethel Merman, the best.
Yep. Everything's Coming Up Roses here on Studio Tulsa.
I had a dream A dream about you, baby. It's gonna come true, baby. They think that we're through, but baby, you.
That's music from Gypsy, which opens Friday night at the Williams Theater, the Tulsa Performing Arts Center. My guest today is Eric Gibson, Artistic Director of Look Musical Theater, which is opening three productions this month. You open three productions within 8 days.
Yes, it's a little crazy this year.
And
I don't know who decided that schedule.
I believe that would be you. But the next night, you open Avenue Q. Now, this is kind of a risky musical, considering your roots with...
Right.
Gilbert and Sullivan roots. Mm-hmm. Avenue Q is about as far removed. It's mm-hmm. a very contemporary musical. Mm-hmm. Tell us about the decision to do Avenue Q.
Well, the decision was made for many reasons. First of all, it's a great show. I mean, Avenue Q beat Wicked for best musical and best score and best book. I mean, it really is a wonderful, wonderful script. And it's a wonderful story about, you know, young adults emerging from college into the big world and realizing that sometimes it's hard to live life as a young adult. And the vehicle that's used is like adult Sesame Street. I mean, that's the convention of the show. So it's done with puppets. You see the actors manipulating these brilliant hand puppets.
But these puppets are doing unnatural acts.
They really are for puppets. Yes, they are. I know that one of the hooks on Broadway was full puppet nudity. And we'll do that. The puppets, actually, sometimes some of the puppets have doubles and triples. I mean, there's several puppets of the same kind because they're naked in some scenes. And in some scenes, they change clothes. So you don't change. A puppet doesn't have a quick change. A
right.
puppet, you just get another puppet. So that's been a lot of fun. We had a puppet coach come in and teach us how to use the puppets. And
is there real tricks to making the puppets seem really
well? I think the first
imbibe the character.
Right.
I guess
I think the first thing that all the actors were doing was when they were moving the mouth is they closed the mouth with every word. So they were doing the exact opposite of what we do as humans when we open our mouth to make sound. It's just mm-hmm. you know something that everybody was doing, and it's strength too because those puppets weigh. I mean, I don't know whether they're 5, 10, 15 pounds, but some of them are big. Some of them people actually fit into, or the fur or whatever goes mm-hmm. over them. And it's taken, the cast is tired after a typical rehearsal. But they've really taken on this task well. It's fun. They're Broadway reproduction puppets, so they look exactly like the Broadway. I can't say they're the Broadway puppets, like the actual ones, but they are. They're reproductions of those, and they are so much fun. And they look like they're straight out of Sesame Street.
Now, we should mention Avenue Q is definitely for mature audiences.
Avenue Q, although it is puppets, is definitely not one you want to bring your kids under, I'd say, 14. No, you don't. There's language in it. There's adult situations. Granted, it's all done with puppets, and that's part of the charm. But I would say it's for the adults, yes.
If you wouldn't let them watch South Park, you probably wouldn't want them to go to Avenue Q.
Well, yeah, I mean, South Park is vulgar in a real shock value kind of way. I mean, I think this one is more, it's a little truer to life. I mean, these people say things you would hear.
Right.
I mean, the real discussions among adults at a bar or whatever, and they throw a little language in there. So, yeah, it'd be too much for young kids, and we won't let young kids into the theater. We've joked that we're going to have a stack of money that we hand back. I don't know if we're going to do that, but we are not going to let those people, little ones, into the theater.
Yeah. It opens Saturday night.
It does.
And what is it, through early July?
Avenue Q will play through July 3rd. Our entire season runs through July 8th. That's when we close Gypsy.
And now we have some music. Some of the few songs that you can play on the radio. But this gets to the heart of the song. This is basically Avenue Q is a place where young professionals who are trying to get started in life.
Yeah, it centers around a young lad named Princeton, and one of his songs is "What Do You Do with a BA in English?" he's just graduated. He's this fresh-faced kid right out of college, and you know he can't afford, you know, an apartment on Avenue A, and he goes out and out and out and out and out further until he gets to Avenue Q, where he finds an apartment. And oddly enough, the landlord at Avenue Q is Gary Coleman. And Gary Coleman's played by this wonderful woman named Heather Harris, who we found at our auditions. And it's so funny. And she really does sound, and she's taking on the physical characteristics, but she sounds like Gary. It's
and I was going to say Avenue Q is the place where young professionals get started and other people who are not going anywhere live.
Right.
Basically.
That's a good way to say it.
And so anyway, here's music from Avenue Q here on Studio Tulsa.
What do you do with the BA in English? What is my life going to be? 4 years of college and plenty of knowledge have earned me this useless degree. I can't pay the bills yet, 'cause I have no skills yet. The world is a big, scary place. But somehow I can't shake the feeling I might make a difference to the human race.
That's music from Avenue Q, which opens Saturday night at the Williams Theater. As Look Musical Theater opens their first two shows this weekend. A week later, a funny thing happened on the way to the Forum. I'm going to talk about your audition process. You mentioned your Mama Rose actress was someone who's had a long relationship. Can you talk about how you find the singers that come to Tulsa? How much are from the area, like college students who are looking for summertime experience and getting their career going? Or how much are auditioned actors from elsewhere?
Well, we hold regional auditions in Oklahoma City and Wichita, Tulsa. Sometimes we'll go up to Lawrence or Kansas City. And I've held auditions in Texas before, too. But I stuck to just Oklahoma City and Tulsa and Wichita this year. And there, that's where we get our college-age apprentices who fill smaller roles. But actually in Avenue Q, because it's about, you know, most of those roles are filled by our apprentices. A lot of people from the University of Tulsa this year, and they're fantastic. I mean, Alex Ward was just, she just played the drowsy chaperone. She was the chaperone, and she was fabulous, and I was lucky enough to get her. Jenny Guy is another local actress who graduated from TU, went off to Arkansas, and now is back, and she's now a Tulsan, and so I grabbed her again. She's playing Christmas Eve in the show, which I won't explain now. We don't have time. But there's a lot of local people in the shows this year. Lots of Tulsans auditioned. I think Avenue Q brought a lot of talent out. But then we have our people like Ron and Melissa from New York, but we don't have a whole lot of people from the coasts, shall we say, this year. It's more centralized around Tulsa.
And does that change just from year to year? Just based
it,
on your
It's completely
material?
Random, and it's because of the repertory.
No. You know, it's now, will your principals, say, in Gypsy, be playing a minor role in Avenue Q or a funny thing?
Yeah, we have a real compact company this year. Sometimes I hire up to 30 people. I think we've hired 20 people this year.
So everybody's swinging.
Yeah, everybody's in everything. Yeah. Even Melissa, who plays Mama Rose, she's playing a teacher, and she basically just has two phone conversations in the show. But it is a hilarious part, and the puppet is a scream.
Well, after those two shows open this weekend, you would say, okay, that's enough. But you actually open
it.
So are you teching the show as those other shows are running through the week? Or
right. We take one hat off and put the other one on. Sometimes we're all in the same day.
So during the day, you'll be teching a funny thing happened on the way to the Forum,
right.
And then you reset and you do a show that night.
Right. Well, at the time of this interview, we just had a dress rehearsal for Gypsy the day before last. This morning, we blocked the end of Forum, and tonight we'll have a piano dress rehearsal of Avenue Q. Later this week, we will be doing dress rehearsals for other shows during the time other shows open at night. So it's draining, but that's repertory.
You've been doing a lot of Stephen Sondheim shows over the last few mm-hmm. years, and this is sort of interesting because this period that you're doing these two shows is the last where he was a lyricist, sort of the, you know, almost the last when he was a lyricist. And then a funny thing happened on the way to Forum, which was his first show, which is a little less of less musical than we expect from Stephen Sondheim. There's a lot more comedy. The Larry mm-hmm. Gelbart script is very hilarious, and it is a is it a comedy with music, or is it a musical with a lot of comedy?
It is amazing that the script, the humor, the timing. It is like a Marx Brothers routine. I mean, it's so funny. I mean, the people who are stage managers and people who are watching the script, they just turn those pages, it seems, because the lines go by so quickly. It is one of the funniest books written for the musical theater stage.
Well, you have to remember, Larry Gelbart got started on shows mm-hmm. with Sid Caesar, and mm-hmm. then, of course, he developed MASH for mm-hmm. television. An incredible comedy writer.
Mm-hmm.
And this was his big musical success.
Well, and a success it is. I mean, Act Two is a door-slamming farce that beats any play, straight play, in my opinion. I mean, it's a phenomenal work, and it is just gut-splittingly funny.
Now, you have to have a special comedian for the main role in this piece.
Soutelous,
mm-hmm. yeah. Who do you have for this?
Well, look, audiences will remember Ron Lloyd from playing many, serious parts. I mean, he was our Sweeney in Sweeney Todd. I mean, he was phenomenal. But Ron has a real funny bone. I mean, Ron is a great comedian. He's a phenomenal physical comic. And he is just funny. I mean, he's random. I mean, Zero Mostel, who created the role of Soutelous, was known for pulling stuff on stage.
Yeah, ad-libs.
I mean, ad-libbing, throwing everybody out. I mean, just he was nuts. Ron will work that into the rehearsal process. And like today in rehearsal, he just threw some things that we just had to practically stop rehearsal because it's so funny. The difference is we kind of try to make that evolve into the show and keep it fresh, you know, obviously. But things happen on stage. You know, if a prop falls out of your hand, a wig falls off, the lights turn off or whatever. I mean, somebody's cell phone goes off in the audience, which is unfortunately too common now. This is the show where an ad lib will be perfect. And Ron is the perfect person for that. And luckily, he's got about almost two dozen other people up there that are playing with him, and they're just as funny, too.
Yeah,
so we're lucky.
Of course, Zero Mostel originated the role. Nathan Lane did the mm-hmm. revival, which...
which I was lucky enough to see, and it was fabulous.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
Well, in fact, we have Nathan Lane mm-hmm. opening the show, if you will, mm-hmm. with a comedy tonight. Mm-hmm. And this is the big song. And this is the thing.
Song.
This is the one thing about this particular Sondheim musical is we only remember a comedy tonight.
Right. It doesn't have a lot of hit tunes. Everybody Ought to Have a Maid is funny. But really, Comedy Tonight is the big tune that people know. And if I can mention something fun about the production, it made me remember it because you said Nathan Lane. I saw that production in New York, and it had phenomenal costume. And when we were renting the puppets for Avenue Q, those people also had Forum costumes. And it turned out that they were, I don't think they're the originals, but they are reproductions of the revival in the 90s. And I've seen them, and they are wild. They are like the Sunday comics, and they're brilliant. It's funny. It is so funny. The wardrobe is fabulous. People will want to come see the show just because of the clothes. Because the clothes will make you laugh.
Hopefully you'll stay for the singing.
Right. Hopefully that is the point.
Well, let's hear the opening of A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum. This is Nathan Lane here on Studio Tulsa.
Playgoers, I bid you welcome. The theater is a temple, and we are here to worship the gods of comedy and tragedy. Tonight, I am pleased to announce a comedy. We shall employ every device we know in our desire to divert you. Something familiar, something peculiar, something for everyone, a comedy tonight. Something appealing, something appalling, something for everyone, a comedy tonight. nothing with kings, nothing with crowns. Bring on the lovers, liars, and clowns. Old situations, new complications, nothing portentous or polite. Tragedy tomorrow, comedy tonight.
That's music from A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum, which opens Look's musical theater season on Saturday, June 23rd, a week after Gypsy and Avenue Q. Three productions running through about the second week of July.
And we run through July 8th.
And what are performance dates? Are they mainly the latter part of the week, or are you Tuesday through Saturday?
We have shows every Friday night, Saturday night. We have a few Saturday matinees, and we play Sunday afternoons as well. There are some midweek performances as well. Each show plays a Tuesday, Wednesday, and a Thursday. So you can see the shows in the middle of the week, too.
All right. And I guess the best way to get ticket information is your website?
Mm-hmm. Looktheater.org.
All right.
And you can call us at 583-4267.
All right. Hope a lot of people come out. It sounds like three really funny shows. I mean, there's not a serious one among these three.
Not. Well, I mean, Gypsy's a poignant story, but it has its funny moments. But the other two are just purely comic. And, you know, it's funny because I like to watch TV in the off season and follow politics. And with all the crazy stuff that's happening right now with politics, I'm lucky that I'm rehearsing these shows. It's taken me away. So if people need a break from all the garbage on television, come to the theater because you will laugh. It's going to be a really great season.
All right. Well, Gypsy, Avenue Q, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum, all open within the next 8 days at the Performing Arts Center. Visit either the PAC box office or Luke's website for information. Eric Gibson, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Rich.
Eric Gibson is the artistic director of Look Musical Theater. Look opens Gypsy Friday night at the Williams Theater of the Tulsa Performing Arts Center. The following night, Avenue Q opens. And A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum opens Saturday, June 23rd. Performances continue through July 8th. Information at the Look box office at 918-583-4267. Here's the comments of Ian Scholes.
Ian Scholes, the buzz has it that NBC is planning a reboot of The Munsters. Brian Fuller, the creator of Pushing Daisies and Wonder Falls, is the man behind it. Supposedly, it will be less campy and have a darker feel. It will be edgy. And that's what we need now, more edge. Things are too calm around here. People are too reasonable. America really needs an unfunny remake of The Munsters. Come to think of it, the original wasn't funny either. So, what's the point? Why not do Scooby-Doo? Now, sure, Scooby-Doo had a Hollywood reboot with two feature films in the early part of the century, but they were terrible. America's ready for another take on the ghost-busting gang, only this time, give them some firepower, Glocks, and dynamite. Is there a ghost in that house? Who cares? Blow it up. And can we lose the talking Great Dane and the hippie? More Velma Dinkley, nude. There, I've said it. NBC is also considering turning Frankenstein into a series. The folks that produce House are behind that one. It'll be a modern-day version. See, we've run out of zombies and vampires, so we have to turn to the other monsters of yore. I have no idea what this remake will be like. Oh, yeah, I do. It'll be edgy. A grumpy, people-hating doctor patches together a makeshift human from the body parts of dead people. When patients present to him with unusual symptoms, he has the monster tear them apart. Now, I'd watch that. In other news, Regis Philbin retired. He's clocked more television time than any other human being. And all for what? I don't know. I say reboot Regis, only this time give him a Glock. And dynamite, and a zombie sidekick, and Velma Dinkley, nude. There, I said it again. I gotta go.
Ian Scholes is our commentator on pop culture. He's a writer and essayist based out of San Francisco and a regular contributor to Studio Tulsa. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. If you missed one of our recent shows, they're available online anytime. Visit our website at publicradiotulsa.org for an old Studio Tulsa or just to catch up on the latest news. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.